Hello, this is Melissa. It is Real History on the 12th of September, 2024, and I am joined today by Neil Foster. Hello, Neil.
Hello.
How are you?
Warm.
Yeah.
Humidity is brutal this week.
Really?
Up in the 80s.
Well, here it dropped, the temperature dropped just about a week ago, almost like the first day of September, and it just, it's an amazing difference, 25 degrees overnight.
No, no, the temperature's still in the 80s, but it's the humidity that's up to about 85%. So, I don't have any AC down here, so it's warm.
Yeah, it's brutal. Well, before we started talking about topical news events, I wanted to mention that Neil has a new endeavor that he's been working on for the last couple of months, I guess, and that is making jewelry. And he sent me some pictures. You'll have to tell me about the process, but I really like what you're doing. I'm curious.
Oh, the process. I can't remember which ones I sent you now.
Let me see. There are a lot of. I've got all of the pictures organized here, but it's a lot of earrings.
All right. Okay, that's the process. Okay, well, that's basically just epoxy resin. Mix it up, two parts. Put a bit of color in it. Put a little charm in it or whatever. And away you go.
It takes 2 days
because you were let set. But I'm doing different stuff now as well, so I've got a completely different process to explain to you next time. Yeah, takes a bit of time. But,
the color, I'm looking at some of the earrings right now, and the color on some of these is 2 and 3 tone. How do you do that?
Well, you just you have little silicon cups. You mix up 2 different colors and pour them at the same time, and then just use a toothpick or something to drag some colors around.
It looks so, I mean, some of these earrings are really tiny, so this is close-up tiny work, huh?
Yeah, luckily I've still got my eyes.
Do you like it? I mean, is it fun to do?
Yeah, it's, you make some things and think, oh, that's really nice, and then you make other things, and I'm not quite happy about that, but then you never know what other people like.
Right. So have you found, are you set up at an art fair, or do you have an outlet?
We did a couple of the local farmers markets, but there's very few people come to that local one. Prior to COVID, there's an old guy, an old retired guy runs it, and he gets it's $10 for your 10x10 booth area, which is a standard type of canopy type of thing. Mm-hmm. So he was getting up to 60 vendors prior to COVID, and now he's down to 15.
Wow.
So I'm going elsewhere this weekend. This Saturday I'm going to another town which has about 50 or 60 vendors, and they have a lot of people there. And then the following Friday I'm going to the same town but a different market. And the following Saturday they have a September festival, a fall festival. So I'm going to that one as well. I've got 12 markets booked up to the end of the year.
Oh, that's great, Neil.
So we shall see. I just need to start selling some.
Well, I hope it's a big success for you. Are you going to be doing the seasonal driving this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's guaranteed good money. I've got to do that.
When does that start?
That'll probably be mid-November.
Mm-hmm. Good.
We only get 6 weeks now because of new union rules.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I don't just love unions. Yeah, these drivers are getting paid up to $50 an hour, and that wasn't enough for them. So the part of their deal was to cut back on these guys that came in and helped them out at Christmas, so they could get more overtime. And half of them don't even want it.
Interesting.
Yeah, the union will destroy that company because they can't compete with the likes of Amazon or FedEx.
Right.
So that's that.
Well, I wanted to also mention just right off the top here that Neil has given me a couple of outings. We're going to try a new little project that I'll post on the website and on the different channels. And the delay in getting going on this is, was sort of just trying to iron out a few things, like get the sound good on.
It was my fault.
Well, now it's my fault because you've sent me the walk. So what this is it has a name, and it's called Jack's Walk and Talk. And Neil is going to be taking his dog, Jack, out for a walk and talking to us. And so the first one, there was a lot of external noise. And the second one, I think you've tried video. So you're walking with, we get to see where you're walking. And I haven't even had time to download it yet. So that's, right. Yeah.
Well, it's all WeTransfer. I think they only get so long to download that. So
well, I may just
grab it.
I'll get over there this morning and try to do that. But
I think it's all in one piece now. So it's, I sat down one day and started looking at video things and how to do them. So finally got around to it. So okay. Should be okay.
And it's going to be about a 20-minute walk?
Yeah. So I think I cut it down a little bit, but I don't think I have to. I think I can do 20 minutes. But sometimes when I get back to the parking lot, there's people there and it's noisy, so I'm better cutting off a little bit early.
Yeah.
Or the leaf blower, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, so look forward. I'm sure that I'll manage to be able to get this up this week at some point, but I think it'll probably be a weekly thing, Jack's yeah. Walk and Talk. So.
Well, I'm going to also, Jack is involved in the jewelry thing. We're going to call it Jack's Jewels and Things.
Oh.
And have a picture of the dog, because, you know, pictures of dogs will bring people in.
Of course, yeah. Well, so. That's one thing that you need to send me is a good picture of Jack that I can use.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I need to get one to, I'm going to make a sign out of resin.
Oh.
Which is it's about a foot by 9 inches or something. Okay. Just a nice thin resin sign. I'll put some stuff in it, and I'll have a picture of Jack in there, and I'll have the Jack's jewels and stuff, and that'll be a sign. So,
okay. Well, catching up on your other endeavors, how is the beekeeping and the?
Well, they lost the bees a long time. Well, lost the bees a long time ago. They went in the spring, so I don't know where they went. They just went.
Are you thinking about doing it again, or is it?
Well, I'd have to wait till the spring again.
Oh, okay.
So I might I'll buy another batch and see if they hang around.
Okay. And the eggs?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. They've slowed down a little bit with the heat, but yeah, we're still getting. My neighbour helps because he buys 72 at a time. So I think we've got about 70 odds now. So if he wants to come over and buy them now, that'd be great. And then we're down there 4 or 5 a day.
That's manageable.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, when the colder weather kicks in, they'll start laying a bit more.
Okay, and finally, the garden. How did it do?
This year was pretty bad, but I started planting some tomatoes and cucumbers, and I'm going to try them in the polytunnel and see how we do this year. Just do stuff in there. Because I don't know what they're spraying in the air, but there's stuff all over. Like Paula's plants, he's got this white powdery type stuff all over them. I don't know where that's coming out of the sky.
I had a really weird thing. I actually took a picture of it. It was a rather alarming, weird white mold. If it is what I think it is, it wasn't as dangerous as I thought. But at the time that I removed it, I actually put a scarf over my face and wore gloves because, you know, I didn't have like the spores of this. You have no idea what you're dealing with, but it was creepy. And that's because it rained so much this year. That's unusual for here to have such a wet spring. But I think that my big ambition for the garden is to actually move it over the winter and into a different part because it just doesn't get enough sun.
Yeah, well, we get too much sun. That's our problem.
Yeah.
I did have a kind of semi-shady spot, and I had the deep beds up there before, and now the trees have all overgrown it, and they're not in my yard, they're from the neighbour's yard, and it's just completely in shade now, so that's not much good to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll put stuff in the tunnel this year and see how I do. I'll pick up some pallets from the local pool shop. It lets me take them, so I'll make some deep beds and put them in there. Try that. Stop anything landing on them.
That sounds good. I'm going to try to keep track of the sun. I don't really, you know, for me, it's one or the other. The backyard is fairly shaded, and then there's a place just next, kind of this spare lot area, and it's full sun. There's no shade, so I can't find a place where it's partially shaded, which would be good.
Well, plant some pigeon peas, and they'll give you some shade.
Well, I'll have to see how they do in this area. That might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are going to dive in, and I didn't have as much time as I wanted to look at all of the things that you sent, but I did notice a little bit of thread from the last couple of weeks, and that was greening, sustainability, rewilding the Scottish Highlands.
So, oh, yeah. Like, it's not wild enough.
Yeah. So where do you want to start?
That must have been a while ago I sent you that one, because I can't remember it.
Well, I've got it up right now, so I'll just mention it. It's rewilding Scottish Highlands could help the UK hit 30x30 conservation goal.
Okay, I'm just scrolling up here, sorry.
So the goal is to protect, probably UN-based if we track it back, but it's to the pledge to protect 30% of its landscape by 2030, a goal known as 30 by 30.
Hmm. Yeah, and, they introduced wolves, I think, wild wolves back into the Scottish Highlands, and I thought at the time, every farmer with a shotgun needs to get out and shoot these things, unfortunately, because they're just going to create havoc on sheep farmers in particular, and beef farmers when the calves get born. These wolves will just rip them to pieces. These greenies from the cities, the city slicker greenies, know nothing about the countryside and how it works and what people have to do to raise meat. But of course, they don't want you raising meat, so that's why they're putting wolves in there, to make sure that you're having as many problems as possible to make it not worth your while growing meat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think they were going to do the same in Ireland with wolves. And, these things were never native to Scotland. And bears are talking about it as well. I mean, what? Are they stupid?
Yeah. You know who one of the biggest proponents in the UK of rewilding is? George Monbiot.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Monbiot.
Monbiot. Moron.
Monbiot. Yeah. He is a journalist and a zoologist, whatever, but he wrote a book. I'm just looking him up right now because I remember this. Okay, here it is. Oh, he narrated the video, speaking of wolves, How Wolves Change Rivers. And this was based on a TED Talk he did about the restoration of ecosystems and landscape, which he calls rewilding, when wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone Park. He's also made a video a few years ago with, guess who, Greta Thunberg.
How dare you.
So.
Yeah. But I'd like to see these people going out camping in one of these areas. Okay, all you greenies, you think it's the environment, so it's all going to be rewilding and all this kind of stuff. It's all going to be pretty and beautiful and serene. Okay, go out camping for a week and see how you get on.
Yeah.
I'd like to say it's been nice talking to them, but it's not. Off you go, and make sure you take a gun, because you're going to need it. They're just stupid, stupid people. It's not for them. What am I going to say? It's not them that's going to have to suffer the consequences of it.
No.
It's just the poor farmer and anybody who just likes going for a walk in the woods. getting attacked by bears and all sorts of things. We had a bear here, actually, down at the boat ramp where I parked my car under this tree.
What kind of bear was it? Brown bear?
It was a brown bear, yeah. And I didn't find out until the day after that it was up in the tree when I was unloading my car. taking the kayak off the top of the Jeep. But the local powers that be didn't do anything about it. They just let it climb down and wander off through the neighbourhood. They didn't try and capture it and take it out to the woods or anything. No, they just let it walk through the neighbourhoods. I mean, talk about stupidity.
Well, it's just a matter of priorities. They were probably enforcing some kind of thing. Somebody was getting rid of some rainbow flags and they had to arrest them and tase them.
Well, somebody says use the wrong pronouns.
That's it. It's all priorities. Well, you know, I just mentioned this and then we can move on from here to something else that you sent. But I was just scrolling down Mombio's page here. And he was pushing the whole peak oil thing. He wrote in the early 2000s that the global production of oil will peak before long. And just yesterday, when I was working on the Redux to go up, I found a really interesting video that I posted the link to on Technocracy. It was done back in 2013, but it was fairly comprehensive, and the bones of it hold up to exactly what Technocracy is and how it started. And the fellow behind Technocracy Inc. in the 1930s is the one who came up with the idea of peak oil. So anytime you hear this peak oil theory, just remember this is Technocracy.
Yeah, and link that to Elon Musk.
Yes.
Electric cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And his father was heavily involved in Technocracy, of course. Or his grandfather's grandfather or his father?
It was his grandfather's mother's father. Yeah. Now, there's a couple of other things in the green vein that you sent. I don't know if you remember this, but the Green Alliance was one. Do you remember them?
Briefly. I try to forget these people as quickly as possible. But, the Green Alliance, I'm having to scroll back here again.
Well, this is an independent think tank and charity focused on ambitious leadership for the environment. Since 1979, we have been working with the most influential leaders in business, NGOs, and politics to accelerate political action and create transformative policy for a green and prosperous UK. Now, unfortunately, I can't remember this politician's name. Alan mentioned her, but not my name, in the Redux that I put up yesterday, but she was the politician, I'll see if I can't find those links, who said regarding sustainability and climate change that she just loved the idea of wartime rationing and coming together, and that's what was needed for climate change.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll change the climate, all right. There'll be a lot of people starving.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't the Canadian one, was it? Canadian politician?
No, she's a British politician.
I think you mentioned her before.
Yes, I know. I did. And I still can't retain her name. It's just like you said, you want to forget these people's names as soon as you can.
Yeah. It wasn't Lucas, was it? Carolyn Lucas?
Could have been. Could have been, yeah. That sounds possible.
Yeah.
So, on to the Daily Skeptic, you sent the Party for Alarmists as sea temperatures plunge around the world. This was from about a week ago.
Yeah, I've got it here. Yeah, the all this stuff we've been telling us about the seas warming up, which and rising, of course, which is patently untrue if you just think about it rationally. They say that all this ice is falling off the glaciers and all this kind of thing. But of course, as Alan pointed out many times, it's because it's too heavy. It's too much of it. That's why it falls off. And basically, ice, as anyone will know, takes up less space than water. So, you know, and any iceberg is going to melt from the bottom up. if the seas was warmer, right?
Mm-hmm.
The sea's warmer than the air temperature, then it's going to melt underneath, and then the whole thing's going to topple all over. I don't see any video of that happening.
No.
You know? And it's the usual thing, the simple test you can do in any bar, if you care to do it. Just ask the bar person, or barman, barwoman, or whatever, for a glass of water, or a glass of ice, top it up with water, leave it sitting there for a couple of hours and see what happens. That water will go down.
Yeah.
Because the ice takes up more volume. It's quite simple. This is basic high school chemistry, science. Basic. And yet we're led to believe that the seas are warming up and this is happening, that's happening. And here we are. Sea temperatures are going down. Which means, of course, the ice pack is going to start moving south, right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how many Greenpeace ships get stuck up there this year if they go have a look, as the last one did.
This is interesting, and this article is from the Daily Skeptic. It was the 27th of August. It said, this year the temperature shown by the black line flatlined. I'll provide this link for you. Until April, compared with the substantial rise in orange for 2023. So it fell more sharply than last year. It's now 0.2 degrees lower. In the Atlantic, the turnaround was more dramatic. It was a full degree colder than average this time last year, or as opposed to last year.
Yeah. So, yeah, your ice pack's going to come further south. I guess the north of Scotland and, Ireland, these countries are going to be in for a severe winter.
Yeah.
As is Canada and North America, I would imagine.
Think so.
But there you go.
I mean, one degree Celsius colder is significant.
Well, they're telling us that 1 degree warmer would be a catastrophe, right?
Yes.
So if 1 degree lowers, that's going to be a catastrophe as well.
I don't have time to follow up on everything that is sent to me, but a couple of months ago, I did a real history with someone who has followed the coming ice age quite closely. So it's pretty obvious to people who are paying attention to what's happening as opposed to propaganda that things are getting colder.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I don't know what happened to Ice Age Farmer. I haven't heard from him for a long time.
He hasn't. I noticed the same thing too. I quite liked him, but I don't think he's posted for more than 2 years now.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him. Anyway, yeah, so it's getting colder, but we've known that for, 30 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, actually longer than that, if you think about it. I mean, because remember, on the cover of, like, Time and Newsweek back in the early 70s, right, coinciding with First Global Revolution, the Club of Rome mm-hmm. publication, and the Rio Summit and all of that, the first strategy was to push a coming ice age.
Yeah. Well, I remember, I might mention this before, I remember getting a foot of snow in July in Edinburgh around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only there for a day or so, but it snowed, and like a foot of snow overnight in July. I think, oh, well, there you go. Normal. It's a yes. I don't know. That's all I say. It doesn't matter. Facts don't matter. Right? It's they're going to go ahead with this. The whole agenda is predicated on it getting warmer. The whole thing, everything they're talking about is global warming, global warming, global warming. You know, or sorry, global boiling. So it's all predicated on that. I mean, if people could just, and a lot of people you talk to actually say, "Oh, that's rubbish." You know, global warming is just a load of nonsense. And you say to them, well, why are they doing this then? Why are they saying you've got to be living in 15-minute cities and that to save the planet and rewilding and all that kind of... Why are we talking about this if this is nonsense? And they just can't seem to get their head around it. You know, they can't join... There's only two dots on the page. They can't join them together. You know? It's remarkable.
No. Well, the propaganda is relentless.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, it was hot here in July, but then somebody there was mentioning that this has been one of the cooler Augusts. So, you know, August is supposed to be the hottest month.
Mm-hmm.
It's got colder. Mm-hmm. So, maybe that 1 degree is going to make a difference here too.
Well, I mean, the one thing about climate change is that the weather always changes. You know, most parts of the world have four seasons. Some only have two. Some it's, you know, the rainy season and the dry season. But climate changes. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily... I mean, this was a... For here, even though in August it got up into, you know... well over 40, 42, 44 a few days, and that's way over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So,
yeah.
That was typical August weather, but for the most part it was cooler and wetter here. Does that mean that it is going to be cooler and wetter next year? I don't know.
Well, they're saying in Ireland that the rest of the world is going to be boiling. But Ireland is going to suffer extreme cold this winter. Well, you know, where's the logic here? Where's the logic? The whole, and then one of the, he's called the Irish Git, he put a thing together, because every country in the world has been told that their country's warming up faster than everybody else's. But every country's getting told the same thing. Ireland warms up faster than the rest of the world. Brazil warms up faster than the rest of the world. Which is it? There can only be one of them, right? But there's like 20 or 30 news headlines saying the same thing about different countries.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wonder when they're going to say, you know, Brazil's cooling down faster. You know, as I say, people can't get their head around it. People, you show that to somebody and you ask them how that can be possible, and they just, they've seem to have lost all ability to think at all. Never mind critically, they just can't seem to think. You know, and you'll say something about the COVID lurgy, and you know, they'll say, "Oh, but this is all over the world." Da, da, da. I'll say, "Yeah, well, how did it get all over the world? How was this put in the public mind that this got? Because the media put it in the public mind all over the world." I say, they wouldn't do that. I says, how do you think global warming works? They do the same thing with that. All the major publications are across the world, all the major TV stations, networks, they're all spouting the same garbage. I says, and you've already told me you don't believe in global warming, so that's how it works, right? And they can't relate it to anything else. They can't relate the same technique to anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Of just media propaganda blitz. You know, I mean, I guess most people in their 30s have now been listening to this all their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't believe it, a lot of them. So why are they prepared to go along with it?
You know, I've been thinking about the way propaganda works on people and indoctrination, and what some people are able to see, but then they can't make the leap to see something else. And that is interesting to me. I think one thing that you'll know from listening to Alan is he's even made the drew the picture for us that when you're opening Pandora's box, well, you can't close it once you've started to look at things in a different way. You have opened up something that is going to put everything up for questioning, everything that you've ever been told about everything. And that's a difficult process. That's why Alan would say it's something that you have to choose to open up Pandora's box all by yourself. You can't do that for somebody else, because I think the
global warming thing is an easy one for people to dismiss as nonsense, because it doesn't directly seem to affect them, you know, mm-hmm. personally. But when it comes to something like taking poisonous injections that nobody's ever tested on anybody, they can't believe that people would be that evil. I think that's part of it. They can't believe there are people out there who would do such a thing.
Well, I mean, that's a good point, because I was having a walk yesterday evening with my brother, and we were talking about the Operation Sea, which he can see a lot of that quite clearly, and he's done a lot of homework there. But he'll still excuse warp speed. You know, he'll excuse that because there is the not making the leap out of politics. But in terms of Operation C, I was bringing up an example of someone that we know and saying, I really still can't fathom how they're looking at what they can see with their own eyes, but they are accepting the mainstream television presentation on this. Mm-hmm. And my brother made a good comment. He said, well, there's a couple of things going on there. The first is laziness. They won't do the homework and find things out. It's very easy to see what this was and what it wasn't, and it's easy to see that what is in these experimental thingies is, you know, and he goes on to elaborate on that, which I won't do here because we should all by now know that. And he said the second thing is just what you said, Neil. People cannot accept the pure evil that would be behind the intention and the execution of something like that. It's just not a leap they can make.
Execution of them.
Yes, yeah, it is.
But these are people that have had the shots, right? Mm-hmm. I think they're too scared. They probably know deep down, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, and I heard, I was down the local bar there for the first time in about a month, and since that month, two people have died. Regulars that went in there, and they must be losing a couple of customers a month at this stage, because that's all I've heard every time I go down there, people dying, you know. Wow. And they will not accept it because I think they're scared. Well, what have I done to myself, you know? You know, I'll sit there and somebody will say to me, did you get a job? I says, no. I say, I never would. I say, I never wore a mask. I never did any of that stuff. He says, did you get COVID? I says, no. I says, nobody in my house got it either. And I say, nobody I know that wasn't vaccinated got it either, anywhere in the world. And they say, that's impossible. I says, no, it's not. I says, I know plenty of people that got the shot that got ill. And I've heard of many, many thousands more, millions actually, now, they're talking about. It's just...
It maybe deep down inside they all do know, or maybe that's just how effective the propaganda is. I know that it is relentless. I was over at my aunt's house the other day, and there's that publication, it's ARP, of Association of Retired People, something like that. And the whole issue, the whole newspaper issue is on the Big C and what might happen this winter and are you prepared for it and so forth. And I flipped through it and just read a little bit, as much as I could stomach. Yeah. And it was, you need to get updated, keep up to date and so forth because of this, you know, long C. It's the long C. That's how they keep people. I don't think there's any such, you know, there's no such thing as long C. This is
side effects.
This is a side effect. This is an injury. And it's in there, you know, I said, there's no mention. It's constant. This happened. And so they're correlating when they first got it, when they got it again, what strain they got and so forth. Well, there's absolutely no introduction of whether or not they were V'd. That's never going to be part of the mainstream dialogue here. Never.
I think part of people's fear is that it's like the, I think I mentioned this before, that, you know, if you go to the doctor and he goes, oh, you got a year to live, you'll die within a year. That's it, because psychologically you prepare yourself for dying. Maybe these people just can't, they're blocking it out, that they've actually taken something which is going to kill them, because if they actually accept it, they might just drop dead. Mm-hmm. through the psychological trauma of it, and that might be what kills them. But I don't know.
Oh, it's very sad. But again, I mean, we don't need to get into this. I'll just mention that you sent a whole batch of died suddenlies.
Yeah, because I was talking to Paul Angry North when I wanted to do a song called Died Suddenly. So I had that on my mind. That was all it was. I think the one year there was 16 high school students died in 2 months of heart attacks and all this kind of thing. High school students. Mm-hmm. And the average for every year across the whole, this is only in one state, I think. And the average for the whole country over the year is 3. So, and those would have underlying health issues.
Mm-hmm.
You probably shouldn't be taking part in the sports anyway. Undiagnosed.
I haven't had time to see when this was introduced, but my brother mentioned last night that SADS was recently introduced to the CDC as a disease or a thing.
Yeah, how can it be classed as a disease when they claim they don't know what caused it?
It
can't be a disease, can it? You just suddenly drop dead. That's not a disease. That's something's happened to you.
Yeah.
Suddenly.
Sudden adult death syndrome.
Yeah, that follows on from SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, which mm-hmm. again is way up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was it? You mentioned, I think yesterday you mentioned about the Roe v. Wade.
Oh, yes, I did. I noticed in one of the Telegram channels, it was just an interesting question that was posed by somebody there. They said, do you think that perhaps Roe v. Wade was overturned because the depopulation agenda could be achieved by this rollout?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a very pertinent question, and I would suggest that more fetuses or babies unborn have died because of this than possibly would be aborted. So, you know, it's taking the sterilization aspect of it as well. How many children aren't going to be born because of this? Alive, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ongoing. It's not just, you know, for this year. Once you're sterile, that's it. You're done. And possibly, you know, if you've had one miscarriage or one stillbirth, that's possibly the way it's going to be for you, unfortunately, due to the thing you stuck in your body.
You know, the same brother that I was walking with last night had a friend. This was probably a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. He had a friend of his from out of state call. She is a medical doctor. And she had two grown daughters, university age. They were actually, I think both of them were going into post-university studies. My brother showed me a picture of the girls. They were beautiful and obviously smart, and now they are both sterile because of what they took into their body a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But they were twin girls, and immediately both of them started to have all kinds of reproductive problems. They were a little bit different with each of the girls. One of them had the bleeding that won't stop,
mm-hmm.
hemorrhaging that's just nonstop.
Which tells you that there are clearly differences in whichever batches of these things have been handed out to people, because mm-hmm. one's causing clots and one's causing bleeding. That's mm-hmm. not the same thing, is it?
Mm-hmm. And even amongst the twin girls, there were differences. The outcome was both of them ended up they will not be able to have children. And this is, I mean, the mother was absolutely heartbroken. Mm-hmm. And my brother, in early days, I mean, I was talking to him when I was still in Canada, saying, I did not know where he was on this issue, but I was kind of feeling it out. And then I got, he's up to speed on this aspect of it. And I said, don't you dare take something into your body, and don't let him do that to Dad, and don't let him do that to Betty. And that's how it turned out, you know. That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just send you a little video from Dr. Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that the nurses and people have been told to destroy these vials to get rid of the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So they know, mm-hmm. And they must be a little concerned if they're going to that length, because as soon as they start telling people to destroy these things, again, some of these medical people, maybe who were sitting on the fence about this, might think, well, why are they destroying this stuff? You would like to think, anyway. Maybe they won't, because maybe they'll feel, well, they were responsible for putting people to sleep, kind of thing. And maybe they want rid of the evidence as well. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But sticking with that topic, the Gaza situation.
Yeah.
They are now giving them this oral polio thing, which they know. Apparently, this is to alleviate shot-derived polio. Well, how does adding another one to the mix stop that? And this one's genetically modified, so it won't mutate, but they've already shown it's mutated in two different countries in 2 months. So, again, they're lying about that. And they claim to have given it to 187,000 children under age 10. I wonder how many underage children under 10, children under the age of 10 are still alive after the bombing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's according to the World Health Organization, of course. They're trying to claim they've given this to 187,000 in a daily 8-hour ceasefire. That's a lot of people. How many people have they got on the ground doing that?
Yeah.
And how are they getting in and out?
I know. I agree with you. I find those numbers incredible. They say that the campaign to vaccinate will target about 640,000 children. I mean, where
target.
Are they finding them? Yeah.
Target's an interesting word, isn't it? Yeah. So, where are they finding these people? Are they digging them up themselves? Are they digging them out of the rubble? But they've got to get a second dose, so they're going to have to do it again. So that's what, 1,280? 1.2 million, right? Doses. And again, Mr. Gates is making 20% on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, 20-1 return, yeah. That's what he said, didn't he? Best investment he ever made. And this thing's not even been tested that they're giving them. It's emergency use. And just coincidentally, 2023, they just hinted it last year, emergency use for it. Did they know this was coming, do you think? So this is, forget her first name, Humphreys. Interestingly, we're going to stop a war that has had absolutely no regard for children whatsoever. Israel is all of a sudden humanitarian, is going to stop a war because the UN and the World Health Organization asked them to. Now, didn't we discuss this last time, that the UN, the World Health Organization, could step in and say, stop this now?
Yes.
Why wait? What has it been? 4 months? 5 months?
Mm.
No, sorry, October? So, yeah. It's been 9 months now, isn't it?
No, we're almost a year, 11 months.
Over
11 months.
So they've watched Israel level Gaza, kill countless tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, And now they say, oh, well, we've got to give them the polio vaccine now. So you better stop the war for 8 hours a day. I mean, it's just, it's nonsense. And it's they're only stopping the war for 8 hours a day in the area they want to give people this stuff. It's still going on all around them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, Bill Gates, who step in there and say, hey, stop killing all those people because I can't sell so many shots. You know, we need them with their arms on so we can get the needle in there. So can you stop bombing them, please? It's just, there's no words for it, really. It's just pure evil.
It is.
Pure evil. So anyway, carry on, because the UN and World Health Organization asked them to. What they asked, got to Netanyahu and kneel down in front of him and beg him to stop the war, did they? So they can go in and save all these children that have been potentially infected by a vaccine-derived polio virus by giving them a new genetically modified oral polio vaccine that has never been fully tested, that is released on emergency use only. And most of the testing early on was done on people who are already fully vaccinated, so that their chances of having a mutation are less because of that. So they, in other words, they don't need this.
Mm-hmm.
Poliomyelitis, the disease that affects the spinal cord and paralyzes the limbs, can't be induced with just toxins, she said. And if a virus is involved, it becomes more invasive in the presence of certain chemicals. And she goes on to mention the amount of toxins that have been released because of the bombing. You know, the whole place is toxic. So,
There is a link coming off of this. This article is on the, this is RFK Jr.'s, the
He's no longer with Children's Health Defense.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I wonder why he did that.
Well, he's busy. He's busy being political. But there is a link off of this article that the vaccine now given to Palestinian children in Gaza is NOPV2, a novel oral polio vaccine focusing on type 2 polio. Well, if you click on that link, this is from a little over a year ago, from the same site, The Defender.
Seven children paralyzed.
Seven children paralyzed by polio virus derived from new Gates-funded polio vaccine.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So you remember, go back to the swine flu, the cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, mm-hmm. and how they stopped that rollout oh so quickly over just
51 cases, was it?
51. I think that sounds right to me. It was less than 100, but I think around 50. This is what they used to do, because the outcry, again, this comes down to us, the public outcry was so loud and so strong, they had to stop it, and they did. Well, here you've got seven people paralyzed. This is supposed to be helping them, right? What does polio do? Well, it causes paralysis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's actually an official term, is vaccine-derived polio. That's an actual thing mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that the World Health Organization actually admits happens. So they know this happens, given this stuff, and they still do it. So there's your pure evil again.
Yeah.
And anybody who thinks that Tedros is a nice chap, maybe should go to Ethiopia and ask around and see what he did there. He wasn't so keen to help children there, was he?
No.
And cholera epidemics and what was the other one? Cholera and typhoid, I think it was.
I don't remember.
Certainly cholera. He refused to let medical people in to help them because they were from the wrong tribe. It wasn't his tribe. Anyway, that's him. But talking about RFK, isn't it amazing how somebody who is supposedly the most well-known vaccine damage, shall we say, proponent, supposedly, to try and stop it, is joined up with the guy who's responsible for rolling out this junk at warp speed. How could he possibly go into some kind of a relationship with him? That makes no sense. How could you? I mean, it's like going into business with your worst enemy.
I hear people who vote. It's a cognitive dissonance. They'll say, "Well, Trump just he had bad advice."
Well, if he had bad advice, how do we know about it? How do we know all this was going to happen? I mean, we're not psychics, you know. We're not prophets of doom. You just read a little bit. It doesn't take an awful lot. And to say that he had bad advice is nonsense. It's nonsense. He was on Alex Jones, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
At some time. I mean, you know, if he didn't get his information from there, he's listening. There's so much information out there, even before this happened.
Well, don't forget that a lot of the so-called truth and patriot is just meant to guide people and to,
oh, of course.
Keep them into the voting process.
So. Yeah, but even before this current con job happened, there was so much evidence out there that these things are harming people for decades and decades and decades. There's been information out there. And for Trump to say he's had bad advice at this stage would be laughable.
I think it's just, I keep saying it, we're now 2 months, a little less than 2 months away from the election here. And I have to say it at every opportunity, which is, if you vote, you're participating in evil.
The end of the world, yeah. The way these guys are going.
Absolute evil.
But here's a little scenario. Maybe get this on air and have it out there just in case it happens. Let's just say, coming up to, you know, the circus that's called voting. Let's just say they announced that Sloppy Joe died, right? From maybe some new disease X or something. And it's all locked down again, blah, blah, blah. You've got Kamala. Right, and the camel is the president, right? Because she's a vice. She's the president of vice, which is pretty apt for her. She's the president. They have to cancel the election because it's too dangerous to go outside. Or it's all done by postal votes or electronic voting or something from home.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have a program all ready to go. Oh, you just have to log into your gov.org website or whatever, and you can vote there. And there you have Kamala as your president until further notice, right? I mean, that's the only way they'll get her in because nobody's going to vote for her. If voting actually got you anywhere, I mean, you know, even if there was a genuine vote, there's no way in hell that she would ever be voted in. Even if you believed in the system, there's no way. Now, around here, it's all Trump bans, all the yard signs are out there. But there's one, there's one up the road here where Paula walks the dog sometimes, and she's got a Harris and whatever the other guy's name is sign out there, and the dog pees in it regularly. I think that tells you a lot.
Yeah,
the Trumpers keep their signs far back, so maybe he wants to pee in that as well, but it's too far to go, you know. He's not allowed to go into people's yards.
A few days ago, I was out for my daily, or as often as I can, walk, and I was walking up a street that I don't cover that often, and I had noticed before, I mean, for years, they've had a rainbow flag, a rainbow banner in their yard.
Yeah.
And I saw that they now have the Harris Walls placard on the front. But next to the Harris Walls, they had a big, huge banner that said, "Unity over division." And I filed that away in my mind and then kept walking. And literally two doors down from them was a big Trump... What's his vice president?
Vance,
thanks. Yeah. Pence.
I only know that because I see it on the sign.
Waltz. What is that? It's a Vance, Pence, Waltz. Anyway, so there was the Trump Vance sign, and I thought, well, there goes your unity in the neighborhood. But I looked it up, and I guess unity over division is the big, you know, that's the one of the nonsensical slogans for her.
If they really meant that, they'd have a Trump Vance sign next to the other one.
Yes.
Right.
The thought that crossed my mind was, when you vote, when you've got left, right, liberal, conservative, whatever, politics, how can there be unity? Except if you believe in uniparties.
Or
as Alan would say, quoting, was it Jefferson, when you see the same agenda carried through from
administration. You know you're living under tyranny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's exactly what we're seeing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's going to change. We've had, it's so ridiculous that when they brought out these shots at warp speed, the demo rats were saying, "Oh, they're unsafe. Don't take them." But as soon as they got in, they said, "Oh, take your shots." You know, they can't keep a story straight, even that basic.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You know, I just want to mention this. I know we had moved off of this, but I went back to the Skype here just to see what else you had sent through recently, and I saw something that just came through on Telegram. Mm-hmm. So this is a link from the Book Club Telegram site from this morning. CDC pushes for babies to get 3 unlicensed COVID mRNA shots by 9 months. And this says, this is Slay News, so this is not mainstream. It said the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention has issued new guidance pushing for babies to receive 3 unlicensed COVID mRNA shots before they are 9 months old. However, COVID-19 poses virtually no risk to children and infants, vaccinated or otherwise. Now, let's just say that, you know, was there any such thing as this big, scary C-19? Was there? You know, I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't believe so either.
But whatever it was, posed absolutely no threat to children and infants. None. Whatever it was, if it's the flu or whatever, there were 0 deaths in children that didn't have some what they called comorbidity. 0. Mm-hmm. And that just reminded me of something that I looked up yesterday. You and I have talked about this a little bit, but I think it bears repeating This is a headline from January 29, 2020. And what I was doing was targeted searches yesterday on a few different things, because the talk that I posted of Alan's was from February the 2nd, 2020. And I wanted to find things that had been published right around that time. So this is the headline. This is from PhysOrg, the same publication that we just talked about, the rewilding of the Scottish Highlands. So PhysOrg, modified RNA has a direct effect on DNA. Mm-hmm. Now listen carefully, I won't read the whole article, but you and I have talked about this before. An article titled M6A RNA Modification as a New Player in R-Loop Regulation by the Dynamic Gene Regulation Research Group led by Arne Klunglund at IMB was published in January edition of Nature Genetics. They're making a clarification. Here's the clarification. Modified RNA is distinct from messenger RNA, which simply comprises instructions for building proteins. Messenger RNA, the basis of 2 prominent COVID vaccines, does not affect DNA. Well, that is what they've told us over and over, was that these experimental things only had the messenger. But we know that there was a modification.
Mm-hmm.
which directly affects DNA.
So they're changing humans.
Yeah.
Just like you said, they would. Just like Schwab said, we don't have to change the technology. We just have to change the human being.
What it means to be human.
And, yeah.
And discussing this with my brother last night, he said, "Hey, don't get in the weeds. Don't get in the weeds. Just, it's enough to know that these injections had spike proteins which reproduce themselves, and that is very dangerous." And that's true enough.
if you were to say to anybody with a couple of brain cells to rub together, would you put something inside your body which could reproduce itself and be totally out of control?
Exactly.
And they say, don't be ridiculous. They say, well, you just did.
Yeah. Exactly. And in the last month, there have been several, I'm sure you've seen some of these videos or read the articles about the self-assembling nanobots.
Yeah. Well, Japan just did a one-hour documentary on mainstream television about it.
I didn't know.
Seeing what was in them. Yeah. And they got absolutely slated for it, but at least they did it. But, what's his name? Campbell is now coming out and talking about it now. But, of course, he was the guy that was pushing it, so. And, at the time, it was already out there that this was going on. It was self-replicating stuff that was in it. And he was still pushing it. And people still think he's changed his mind. No. No, he's making too much money on YouTube for that. Like, I don't know how that guy has such a huge following. I mean, I find him tedious to listen to.
And
he's lying.
I can't listen to him. You look at what some people are allowed to say. You've got to wonder a little bit and hopefully move on.
Yeah, and there's a little clip I sent you from Dr. Blaylock.
I didn't see that.
Journals. Big Pharma is secretly ghostwriting articles in top medical and oncology journals to trick doctors into buying their drugs. Here's how the scam works. First, pharma pays companies big money to ghostwrite studies that look legit. Then they approach doctors, offering them prestige in exchange for slapping their names on these ghostwritten studies. Once published in top medical journals, these articles deceive other doctors into prescribing their drugs, believing the results are authentic. The scheme tricks doctors into promoting treatments based on false research, driving up drug sales while putting patients at risk. Maybe that's who Trump was listening to.
You're describing something. This goes back to Bernays' days. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how he was able to get so much endorsement for various things he was pushing. He just set up
the whole peer review thing is a joke,
and this
is what we're supposed to believe in.
This has been exposed repeatedly, this technique of bogus research and then getting people to sign on to it. I read a book about the called An Empire of Pain a couple of years ago about they call it an opioid crisis, but it was an opioid scourge put on by the family. Was it the Purdue family? I can't remember their name right now, but terrible. And they used the same technique. This is going back to when they first started, back in the, I don't know, 30s or 40s. Just make it up.
Mm-hmm. Well,
bribe
it's
doctors
the old adage, there's no money in healthy people.
No.
Any business that seeks to to diminish their customer base is going to go out of business, right? So I say to people, you've got to think as Big Pharma as a business, which of course it is. And they say, yeah, it's a business. I say, so what do they need? They say, oh, well, they need people to be sick. I say, it's correct. I say, so do you think they want to cure everybody? And they go, oh, well, there's some good drugs out there. They try their best. I say, if they cured everybody, they wouldn't have a business. Right? And they go, yeah, that'd be great. I say, so it's not in their interest to cure anybody, is it? Maybe they'll cure some minor things to make it look like, you know, they're helping some people. I mean, how long has cancer research been going on? Mm-hmm. The money that's gone into that, heart disease, all that stuff. How about they stop causing that stuff in the first place? How about they give us decent food? You say that to people, why don't they, why all this junk that's on your shelves in your supermarkets, most of it would be banned.
Oh, yeah.
If the, really, you know, the government cared about your health, mm-hmm. most of it would be banned.
Mm-hmm.
And people would be put in prison for putting that on the shelves and hiding it in the labeling.
I'm mostly a perimeter shopper, which means, vegetables, dairy, meat, the mm-hmm. perimeter of the store. But if I venture in the aisles, even the perimeter can be scary, but if you venture up the aisles and read the ingredients of things, you're like, oh.
Well, they're now trying to get rid of that. They're trying to get rid of the ingredients. I mean, would if you said that to somebody, I haven't, I'll do that the next time. I'll say, they're going to remove the ingredients labels from your food. Would you buy it? And they'll probably say no. And I'll say, well, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember that the modified corn story that Alan would tell, mm-hmm. How they launched that in Canada.
Substantially equivalent.
Yes.
Used? Yeah.
And he said they showed this redhead woman on the CBC that, had a farm stand. And she said, I couldn't taste the difference.
Yeah.
Tastes the same.
Yeah.
Alan said, yeah, that's good enough for most people.
Yeah. Well, that's because they're putting flavor enhancers like aborted fetal cells in there.
Neil. Yeah. Well, listen, I think we're...
Lay's chips. Don't eat Lay's chips.
No. that's terrible. Well, I think we'll wrap it up for today, unless you've got a burning story.
No, that's about it. That's about it. We've done there, we've done that. Just a quick one on Ireland, of course. We talked about the weather earlier. That's where we started off, I guess. Eamon Ryan, who's a green, wimpy nobody, really. Mm-hmm. He was there when I was over there. It's just a rainbow head. Used hyperbolic language yesterday while the rest of the world burns, he said, to reaffirm that an Irish Times claim that Irish people will be climate migrants due to freezing temperatures. How does that work? Does this mean we can put a halt to all illegal immigrants? If we won't be able to hack it, then how would they, given that most of them are from hot countries? That's a good point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to bring them here to freeze to death, are we?
Mm-hmm.
Or bring them, Before Ryan gets too excited, we'll remind him and the Irish Times of the previous lies. In 2007, the Irish Times reported a study, bogus climate prediction models, showing our little island was heating up faster than everywhere else. Well, that's what I mentioned. Everywhere's heating up faster than everywhere else. So in 17 years, it went from too hot to being so cold we need to leave soon. June 2024, Minister Ryan was insisting that May was the hottest on record in Ireland. He stated this was more evidence of the threat posed by climate change and said people are in deeply fearful, uncertain, uncharted waters. That'll be those cold waters right around Ireland because of climate change. If he swaps climate change with uncontrolled mass migration, he would be more accurate regarding what worries Irish people. No wonder only 2% of the populace are concerned about the weather. The Irish Times poll last month said that when the gaslighting is so obvious. May 24 was the hottest on record. Hilarious. Although maybe it wouldn't have been so awful were we not spraying poisonous chemical stratospheric aerosol injections mm-hmm. into the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And for the sceptics, you're delusional if you think a blanket of all-encompassing white volcanic-like cloud is normal from behind which the sun is attempting to bust through. Natural clouds have discernible shapes, widths, heights, depths, and sit at varying levels in the sky depending on what type of cloud they are. Basically, mm-hmm. secondary school geography, which is basically what we're talking about, the ice and the sea and stuff like that. Basic. Furthermore, all the unusual flight paths and long-lasting trails that spread out slowly over the course of hours are abnormal. Cloud seeding is a multi-billion-dollar worldwide industry, although they'll still tell you it's a conspiracy theory, right? Spraying risky chemicals with unknown effects on climate and people is lucrative, and Ireland is a perfect place to carry out such practices undetected due to our naturally damp, cooler climate. Well, I would suggest they know exactly what the effects are.
Mm-hmm.
They're not unknown, or they wouldn't do it. FY requests were sent to relevant departments about geoengineering and asked the question to formally withdraw and was asked to formally withdraw my request. So you ask for a freedom of information request, which is perfectly legal from a government department, and they tell you to withdraw it.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. Minister Jack Chambers appeared to lie by omission to Senator Sean Keegan in June 24 when he said that Metairn, that's the Irish weather people, was not carrying out such practices. He would know that it is oddly the Department of Housing that deals with such practices, as I was informed by Metairn, the weather people. Senator Keegan raised a query about geoengineering because of the European Commission is funding research into solar radiation modification to deflect the sun's rays and heat, and Irish institutes are involved in the three-year research programme called Co-Create. Not Procreate, right? Co-Create. I have since made Senator Keegan aware that she was misled, but she has yet to challenge Jack Chambers more robustly on what is clearly ironically taking place in our murky skies. It's my guess that spraying will continue unabated, and these scaremongering stories about a super cold climate are perfect cover for the weather outcomes these practices seek to produce. But the timing of these headlines is also significant for another reason. In 2022, GRIPT, that's an Irish media outlet, pointed out the Irish Times reported Europe is warming at twice the rate of the global average. It's Europe now. Meanwhile, India and Russia printed the same headline about their countries. GRIPT revealed this is a staple piece of public relations every year ahead of the COP summit in November from a captured media. It's a manipulation, not reality, but take comfort from the fact that it's becoming more clear by the day, as clear as those not infrequent Irish sunny summer days that now seem to be a thing of the past. So, yeah, there you go. Climate refugees from Ireland because it's too cold, but let's bring in a lot of Africans. They'll survive, won't they?
You know, as you were reading that article, it reminded me of the Bertrand Russell quote that Alan delivered to us over and over and over about how Russell said that through scientific indoctrination, you would be able to teach school children that snow was black.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Guardian reported years ago that we'd never see snow again, and then suddenly it was the backyard.
But I looked up at the sky last week sometime, and it had those, you know, that weird stripy stuff. Remember you sent me that video? It was just like that, just long lines, and then a crisscross of another pattern of long lines. But they've given us, you know, every year they show us what the new clouds look like. It's the new normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Well, as I say, I mean, if air traffic control is doing its job, most of them would be fired. Yeah. If that's how they're letting planes fly around the sky, you know, across each other's flight paths. Yeah. So the planes don't fly like that. They don't do that. They go in one direction.
Yep.
Forward. That's it. They don't cut in front of other. But that's why they're called air corridors. They go in straight lines,
so,
more or less.
So, Neil, when is the next your next song due with Angry North?
Oh, I don't know. It's getting the time to coordinate with each other, I guess. There's 5-hour difference, of course.
Right.
So, and I'm trying, as I say, we've got quite a bit of rain on and off. So, I mean, some mornings it's raining, I can't do it in the car. So
right.
I might have to go back down the basement again and try it there. But it's just
okay. I'm sure you'll let me know when you've got something.
Yeah.
I wanted to just take advantage of this recording and mention the book club, the next book club event, because I won't be speaking again before the Redux, and this will already have happened. So on this Saturday, that's 2 days from when this recording goes up, the 14th of September, at 1900 UK, that's 7 p.m. UK time, 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard, and you can figure out your time zone. We will be doing, Darren from South Africa and I, talk about Chapter 12 of Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope. Chapter 12 is The Policy of Appeasement, 1931 to 1936. And Andrea supplied me this morning a really nice graphic, and I'll put it on this video. And she has a picture there of Winston Churchill and a quote from him. An appeaser is one who feeds a crocodile, hoping it will eat him last. So there you go. She also supplied a link to the audio book of chapter 12. So there's no excuse. If reading, you can't take the time to sit down with it, you can listen to the audiobook, and I'll supply that link again. Chapter 12, Saturday the 14th.
Yeah. Well, people feed alligators here, you know. And when I'm out fishing and I see one close to me, I'm thinking that shouldn't be that close, and I get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are stupid people that feed alligators, unfortunately.
Well, they're
usually from up north, you know, usually from up north who don't understand
it. People who have read or watched George Monbiot talk about rewilding.
Yeah, or David Attenborough.
Yeah, it's just all big fun.
Yeah, okay, it's pretty delicious.
It's always great fun to talk to you, and I learn a lot, and I thank you for your time, and we'll be back next month. October. So everyone, thank you very much, and I will be back next week. And Neil, thanks for your time.
No problem. Talk to you later.
Okay. Well, I've got some